Right, so today Krishna has kindly brought me here to Chiang Mai, and we are at this beautiful ashram with beautiful air, beautiful devotees and beautiful Giriraj and altar and very gentle environment for practicing Krishna consciousness. And some of us here, we've been together just a few days ago. We were in India, we went on pilgrimage to places which are actually not part of India. They are separate from India. See the 10 offences too? The holy dham. The holy dham is not considered as part of any particular country or province. But still, in this world, we have to go to physical India if we want to see the physical surface of these places. But these places of Puri, Vrindavan and Navadvip in particular, we are to consider they are not the physical item that is in front of us. But happily, we've been on pilgrimage with devotees from here to Vrindavan and Puri this year, and we went for the part of the Kartik program, and we went then from Govardhan, we did parikramas in Govardhan, visited the holy places, stayed at our beautiful ashram that Gurudev liked so much in Govardhan, Srila Sridhar Swami Seva Ashram, and there in the presence of Giriraj also, Anu Giriraj, and beside Boro Giriraj, beside the hill of Govardhan, and also with the shelter of our Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj's Pushpa Samadhi, there in Govardhan. And I think everybody, whether we have met in person Gurudev previously or not, I think everybody who comes in front of Gurudev's murti there in Govardhan, they feel very heart touched by Gurudev's presence at his Pushpa Samadhi, the temple of love and affection in Govardhan. And everyone who goes there always is reminded and comes to the forefront how Gurudev repeatedly said, "Oh, and in my later life I shall go to Govardhan. There I shall be peaceful and there I shall write many things. I shall sit under the shade of four auspicious trees mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and there I shall write something." But the Govardhan ashram, it's a beautiful, beautiful place with lots of land. When I came here this afternoon, they were cutting the grass in the compound behind the house at the bottom here. But very noisy cutting the grass with a machine, a spinning zzz, and cutting the grass everywhere. But in Govardhan, they have very quiet grass cutters. The cows come in, they've got bells on their necks, and they're just gently munching the grass and at the same time giving manure, fertilizer for the land, which produces more grass. It is nature's arrangement. Then from Govardhan, we went to Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, did various parikramas in the association of Srila Bhakti Sudhir Goswami Maharaj, who led the parikramas in Vrindavan, getting to understand not only the external leelas, pastimes of the Lord and his devotees in different places, but of course he's giving very substantial and scripturally backed understanding of the internal meaning behind those pastimes and the activities that took place with the devotees and the Lord in Vrindavan. And then we went on to Puri, to Jagannath Puri, Purushottam Kshetra. And there, by the big, broad, blue ocean, near the place of Tota Gopinath, near the place of Haridas Thakur Samadhi. Well, everywhere is quite near in Puri. We walk everywhere. In Puri, it is all nearby. Then we took shelter at our beautiful Sri Chaitanya Sarasat Math in Puri. And there, Sri Sri Nittai Chaitanya Dev, the deities that Gurudev installed in Puri. We remember those days very, very happily. Before the deities were installed, before we had anything there, we remember Puri, of course. And then when we got the ashram And then the development of the ashram, the installation of the deities with Gurudev there. Very, very beautiful days, and we visited with the devotees various places of the devotees' pastimes and of course of the Lord's pastimes in Jagannath Puri. And now we've come back to Chiang Mai, and here we are seeing some of the same devotees we are happily were with when we were there. And so we can always remind ourselves of the activities that took place and share these with others who were not able to go. And then next year, some others will be able to go. And this way, everyone gets some charging of their batteries. And then my last day, just to give a big contrast, at least on the external atmosphere, my last day, I went to Delhi. And in Delhi, you could not see even to the end of the street. It was thick smog. And according to the internet, Delhi is the most polluted city in the world. And according to the devotees who were reading the newspapers, they said that that day in Delhi was their most polluted day on record for 20 years. So the most polluted city in the most polluted day for 20 years. And I had some duty, I needed to walk about 20 minutes or so from where we are staying in Jai Kumar Prabhu's place to go to purchase, to Connaught Circus. I walked there, walked back. And it was really like walking through poisonous gas. It felt like that. And we've lived quite a lot of time in Calcutta and in various places where some say there is pollution, but we really were not affected by it. But this time in Delhi, it was felt like poison and eyes stinging from the air. And then coming from there, such a relief when the airplane door opens and the air of Chiang Mai comes in. You say, oh my goodness, the fragrance, the natural fragrance of the air, the nature of the air. Then when you have something very opposite, you can appreciate very much. So just from a physical setting also, then coming to Chiang Mai, it is a great reminder of what wonderful facility you have here, what a beautiful place you've got with the deities, with the devotees, with so much seva happening. So many devotees here with us today. There are so many devotees seated, and I know that other devotees are doing seva as we speak. It's a natural community of Vaishnavas. In one way, I'm a little reminded about Salt Lake City, because Salt Lake City, there is also a natural community of Vaishnavas. By the presence of one Vaishnava, one Vaishnava's family, somebody else coming, thinking, oh, there, I can go and make my life, you know, with the devotees, doing our job, but with the devotees, and then another, then another, then another. And then we found automatically in Salt Lake City, in America, in the middle of the desert, then we found there that a natural community of devotees automatically came together. And here in Chiang Mai, we have this natural community of devotees. And you see how devotees from all over the world, they're coming here to be with the devotees and to be in this environment. And I just got news that Mohanananda Prabhu came here recently, and that Mathuranath Prabhu and Krishnangini Devidasi, that they're coming here soon. Hasyapriya Prabhu, we were on Parakrama with Hasyapriya Prabhu in India, in Vrindavan, and he is also coming here soon. Devotees are flowing through, coming for the association of the natural community of devotees here in Chiang Mai. So, today I have arrived in Chiang Mai also, very happily, by the invitation of you all, by the invitation of Srila Goswami Maharaj, Srila Avadhut Maharaj, and the welcome of you all. So I'm here at your service. What service can I do? Oh, I know one service. Today, with Paramananda Prabhu, we walked around the property, and He's pointing out the trees. And this was also very much a reminder of Gurudev and of Navadeep and of Bamanpara. I was reminded of Bamanpara today also. Because Gurudev, he would always notice the trees and see how are the trees. When in Navadeep and wherever he would go, he would look. And if we went somewhere, because sometimes we'd be going to Bamanpara for some duty and coming back, but Gurudev is there in Navadeep. But when we come back, invariably Gurudev would ask, you know, the situation and how are the trees? And then he would want to know, oh yes, the trees are standing. Not just that, he would want to know more. He'd want to know how the fruits are, the trees are looking. So when we understand this, once the days of the digital cameras and things came, which is only recently, by the way, then we would take some photos, and literally we take photos of the trees so Gurudev can see, and he would look on his computer and he'd be happy to see the trees. And so today Paramananda was showing me around the temple, and I can see one saver I have, that we can pick some of these limes. There's a lime tree here with so many limes, and they're just falling on the ground. But these are for the saver to Giriraj. The tree wants to do seva. This is the nature of the tree. The tree wants that his fruit or her fruit, its fruit, the tree's fruit, will be used in the Lord's service. And they're happy when people are eager to take their fruit. But just to have the tree with all the fruits falling to the ground, the tree will be sad. So we want to do something good. So we'll have some limes with whatever prasadam we have in the next coming days. And the jackfruit tree, also this is very much a reminder of Navadeep too, because in Navadeep, you know, there's when we do parikrama around the temples, but behind Guru Maharaj's Samadhi Mandir in Navadeep, there's that jackfruit tree. And the jackfruit tree, it gives fruit directly from its trunk. Most trees from the branches, they're giving the fruit. But the jackfruit tree, right directly from the trunk and from the branches of the tree, the jackfruits are coming. And that jackfruit tree in Navadeep giving so many jackfruit. Maybe not every year, but often. And here there's a jackfruit tree giving beautiful jackfruit, but there was one jackfruit there which is sadly gone. I mean, overripe. The inside has become so, mashed up with some worms and things. But there are at least two other jackfruit which are going to come. Anyway, we looked around, and Bhakti Lalita also showed us the Parijata bush, the Parijata tree, and other trees which we've got, she knows the name, other trees and bushes which also are very similar to Navadeep. Champak, Bokul, Kunda, Full. Rajanigandha. And here, what is the name of the bush which is beside Guru Maharaj's Samadhi Mandir in Navadeep? Kunda. Which is also a beautiful reminder. In Navadeep, between the Samadhi Mandir of Guru Maharaj and the temple, between the two, there's a parikram path, a walkway, but also lining right beside Guru Maharaj's Samadhi Mandir, there are the bushes of those kunda flowers. I didn't know they were called kunda flowers until today. But those bushes in Navadeep, they are the same bushes which were in the garden, which now is Guru Maharaj's Samadhi Mandir. And that day that Guru Maharaj passed away, that day before the Samadhi was dug, Srila Gurudev gave instruction to first, don't just go in and dig and clear and dig, but those bushes which are giving the flowers there, they have been serving the deities for so many years. Please, with care, you take and you put, and Gurudev gave instruction where to put. And that same place he said to put is the place today, right beside the Samadhi of Guru Maharaj. Because Gurudev is so heart-feeling to all living entities, and the bushes and the trees and all these things, the giving the flowers, giving the fruits, all these things, Gurudev giving attention, concern, wants their well-being. And until today, those same bushes, which now you see how many years old they are giving flowers, flowers, so many flowers. So here, the climate is quite similar to Navadvip. And fortunately, then you have so many plants which are also similar to Navadvip. But no neem tree here, is that correct? There are neem trees in Meyrim, I saw. In Meyrim, I saw neem. And the leaves of the neem tree. But in here, I didn't see, and actually, I did not notice anywhere here, but in our compound here, I did not see any neem. But in Navadvip, behind Gurudev's house in Navadvip, big neem tree, very strong and big, but very difficult to get the leaves, we know, because difficult tree to climb. When we wanted neem leaves, we would go to behind the Goshala. Behind the Goshala, there's a smaller tree, easier to climb, with many leaves also. And the local people, you know, that they, what do they use for a toothbrush? They're not going and buying a plastic toothbrush. They're going to the neem tree and taking the twig and cleaning their teeth in public with lots of noise with the neem twig. Because the neem is automatically, it is very, I mean, physically speaking, it's automatically, it's antiseptic, and they use it traditionally for cleaning. And you can, in the market in the morning, you can go and buy a toothbrush. They sell the little neem twigs for people to clean their teeth with. And we were doing one thing. We were recording on video something in Vrindavan. It was the morning and there was somebody nearby cleaning their teeth. And with much noise, so much noise, and all sorts of things. And we are doing some recording. But one thing about India is everything is on the street. Everything you see, all life you see on the street. It is very refreshing to go to see so much life. And in many developed places, not Thailand so much. Thailand, there's lots of life visible around and about. But many developed places, there's no need to single out any one place. You go, you don't see many people. And you don't see many people doing things. You see lots of cars, vehicles, and buildings. But you don't see many people doing things. Everything's hidden away. And we've done Harinam Sankirtan in the streets sometimes. And I just think, well, we hope the cars have ears, because there's not many humans are hearing us out here. And even the walkways are empty. But somehow or another, you go in a shopping mall, then suddenly you got people. But what are they doing? They're not brushing their teeth and doing stuff like that. You know, they're shopping, or I don't know what they're doing in the shopping mall. But in India, you know what everyone's doing. The barber, the ear cleaners, the shoe shine people, everybody, they're on the street. So we are in our beautiful ashram here. I'm at your service. What service can I do?
Maharaj, we have some messages for you online. Jai Govinda Prabhu from Ireland is writing, warmest greetings and respectful dandavats to dear Madhusudan Maharaj.
Jai Govinda Prabhu, my dandavat pranam. And Jai Govinda Prabhu and many, please excuse me that I haven't kept up with emails recently. And to yourself, I think I sent a short note, and to others saying that I shall try to be a good boy and catch up with the requests and things. Now, today, not possible, but I shall try to be a good boy as soon as possible and answer your questions and send the files that you want, etc. So please bear with me, everybody. It's not that I'm neglecting anybody. just many things happening.
Ajitasha Didi is writing, humble obeisances, so great to hear you. And also, Dhananjaya Prabhu is sending his dandavats to you.
To you, and you all, everybody, my obeisances. I'm here to serve. And it's the modern age where, in this way, the devotees here, they've made this system of being able to serve more broadly. I mean, what can I say? If I can be of assistance, here I am.
Maharaj, maybe you could tell us a little bit about the day today, because today we have a special day with lots of different spiritual events, like today Gadadhar is Disappearance Day of Srinivasacharya Prabhu and
yes.
Gadadhar Das Goswami.
Dhananjaya Pandit.
Dhananjaya Pandit, yeah. Maybe you could tell us about it.
Well, little bit. We can say something. Gadadhar Das, it is not a coincidence that his name is also Gadadhar, because Gadadhar Pandit, we'd have to refer directly to what Guru Maharsha said, but Gadadhar Pandit we know is Radharani, but she's given her bhav and luster to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu has taken on Radharani's mood and luster, and what is left is Gadadhar Pandit. But Gadadhar Das is related there, and I think then the external feature, perhaps. I'm not the pandit, I really am not the pandit, but we know that related. And Dhananjaya Pandit, he was one of the 12 principal associates of Nityananda, Upashads, means came from Nityananda's world, I mean, an eternal associate, not one of us, of Nityananda. And maybe Srinivasacharya we know a little bit more about. But Srinivasacharya, he is of the next generation. And Srinivasacharya, Shyamananda, and Narottam Das Thakur, they were very famous as continuing, if you like, the next generation. Gadadhar Das, by the way, just Gadadhar Das, his samadhi is in Katwa. That's correct? Anyhow, we'd have to look a little bit more. But on scsmat.com today, there is the link for a talk by Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, about these personalities. But Srinivasacharya, then, he was very important in the next generation, and his life was very dramatic life. I mean, dramatic. In the modern world, people watch movies, they try to have some kind of a plot and something exciting to keep them going. But Srinivasacharya's life was very dramatic in the sense of he always felt so close but yet so far. So close and yet so far. His birth was predicted by Mahaprabhu. When Mahaprabhu went to take sannyas, when Mahaprabhu went to take sannyas, then Padmanabha was the name of Srinivasacharya's father. And when he saw Mahaprabhu's sannyas and his shaving off the hair of Mahaprabhu's beautiful hair, etc., he was absolutely devastated, and he only could speak the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, 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 like this. Only he kind of became half mad seeing what took place and then the name giving by Keshava Bharati, etc. he became half mad and he became known as Chaitanya Das. This is the father of Srinivasacharya, and half mad. And then Guru Maharaj explains that he recovered somewhat. And then in Jagannath Puri, he met with Mahaprabhu. And perhaps that time he was again being referred to as? I mentioned his name. Huh? No, Chaitanya. And Padmanabha. Then maybe again being referred to by his proper name, his former name. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, oh, you are going to have a son and his name will be Srinivas and he will be a great preacher of Krishna consciousness. Somehow this way some prediction was there, and when his father went home, then the news came, and in due course of time his wife was pregnant and Srinivasacharya was born. And Srinivasacharya's father died when he was young, and he had natural internal connection and internal relishing of Mahaprabhu's leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And he went to Navadvip, and he is sitting on the banks of the Ganges in Navadvip when Vishnu Priya went to take bath, or were passing by, maybe, but I think went to take bath. But she, Vishnu Priya, there, and she saw this youth sitting on the banks of the Ganges, looking like, quite like her husband, Gaurasunda. She's thinking of this very auspicious looking youth, and she saw that he is kind of sitting there and he's lost by what his life is about. And she took him to the home and gave some good nourishment. And he, from inside, got this encouragement to go to Puri, to go to Jagannath Puri, to meet with Mahaprabhu. But on the way to Puri, he heard that Mahaprabhu left the world. He's going to Puri. But then he understood, Mahaprabhu's left the world. So he got to Jagannath Puri. But Mahaprabhu had disappeared, and he was super sad. And then from inside, he got this inspiration from Mahaprabhu to go to Gadadha Pandit. You go to Gadadha Pandit and you learn Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadha Pandit. So he went to him. And when he went to Gadadha Pandit, at the Tota Gopinath Mandir, we were just there, in the Tota Gopinath Mandir of Gadadha Pandit. When he went there, Gadadha Pandit said, yes, I've been waiting for you to come. I've been waiting for you to come. You will be a great preacher of Bhagavatam all over. This is your destiny. And I am here, at your service to teach you Bhagavatam. But one small problem. My Bhagavatam, half the pages, half the text, everything is disappeared. Because when I was reading, I could not control. Crying is coming, tears are flowing onto the pages, so many words are washed away. So you please go and get another copy. Get a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam and come back. And with some reference from Gadadha Pandit, he went to a certain place, got a copy. Then coming back to Puri, then he heard that just before coming to Puri, then he arrives and he finds that Gadadha Pandit had passed away. So first Mahaprabhu disappeared while he's going to him. Then Gadadha Pandit disappears while he's going to him to learn Bhagavatam. Then he's reading, then he starts with prayer to Gadadha Pandit, he starts to read Bhagavatam. And Guru Maharaj explains that the meaning of Bhagavatam flowed to him by the grace of Gadadha Pandit, because he had the intention and wish and everything from Gadadha Pandit to him. So again, another example that why living living connection is always necessary. In Gadadhar Pandit, by Gadadhar Pandit's will, wish, then everything came to Srinivasa Acharya. And he, that time, did not have the title Acharya at the end. Later that came. And then, with internal inspiration, he went and he'd heard the fame of Rupa and Sanatan there over in Vrindavan. So, with his Bhagavatam, and he goes. And remember, he's a young person. And then he crosses India to go to Vrindavan. But then, on the way, then he hears that Sanatan Goswami has disappeared, the great general of the followers of Mahaprabhu. Sanatan Goswami disappeared. Then when he arrived in Vrindavan, then just before he arrived, Rupa Goswami disappeared. More or less, maybe whether it was the day before or something like that, maybe the day before. Anyway, maybe that day, I'm not sure, but it was like that. He arrives in Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami disappeared. So like one after another, who Srinivasa Acharya is going to, he's almost got that association, hankering for that, going for that, and one by one disappearing. Gauranga Sunda himself, Gadadhar Pandit, Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami. But when he came there to Vrindavan, then he went, he went to the Radha Govindaji temple, the Rupa Goswami's temple, that of Govindaji on the top of the hill, that temple that was broken later on, but now you can understand, big glorious temple on the top of the hill. And there was a festival taking place after the disappearance of Rupa Goswami, and he could not tolerate to see people being very happy. Sort of, how come such a happy festival? But Rupa Goswami has disappeared. Sanatan Goswami has disappeared. This is a tragic time. So he was a little unhappy with the mood of the general people, sort of celebrating with a big festival in the Govindaji temple. But then he met Jiva Goswami, and there he found very sober presentation, and he found in Jiva Goswami the presence of Rupa and Sanatan. And then taking full shelter at the lotus feet of Jiva Goswami, and in Jiva Goswami's association with his guidance, he became one of Jiva Goswami's top students. And of most fame, we know Srinivasa Acharya, Shyamananda Prabhu, and Narottam Das Thakur. And then many pastimes of Srinivasa Acharya, pastimes of him with the books stolen by Birambir. And then the recovery of the books, and then the festivals in Bengal, and then the preaching in Bengal. And he had the association of Nityananda Prabhu's son, right? Virachandra, who was extremely magnanimous. It's inconceivably how magnanimous, because we read, we understand that Nityananda Prabhu is the most magnanimous of all magnanimous people. Anybody who will have the slightest regard for Gauranga, then Nityananda giving all mercy, grace, everything else. Just take Gauranga's name. I will give you everything. Just don't hesitate. Take Gauranga's name. Chant Gauranga. Like this. And Nityananda Jagai and Madai, I mean so many things, it's all coming through the grace of Nityananda. Raghunath Das Goswami is coming by the grace of Nityananda. So many things. But Guru Maharaj says, much more than Nityananda was Veera Chandra. I think, how is that possible? And we don't hear, I mean, so many things. We don't have like books so much which are describing so many things. But just that one short sentence from Gurudev is sufficient for us to understand, wow, what magnanimity he must have had in distribution. And Guru Maharaj mentions that in Bengal in particular, it was Nityananda, Advaita Acharya and Srinivasa Acharya who converted the people to Gaudiya Vaishnavism in Bengal. And out Narottam Das Thakur, he was principally in northeast, the Manipur district of northeast India. And the king, he also converted the king. So it became a Vaishnava kingdom. Vaishnava kingdom. The dream of us all. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was a Vaishnava kingdom? But there was Vaishnava kingdom by the grace of Narottam Das Thakur. And I've not been to Manipur, but that Manipur area is very Vaishnava until today. And then Shyamananda, the three of them, the principal, senior-most disciples of Jiva Goswami, Shyamananda, he was preaching and converting the population of Orissa. Those three. So today, Srinivasacharya. And may Srinivasacharya, may Dhananjaya Pandit, may Gadadhar Das, may they all give their grace to help us. They are in that group of many hidden guardians who are wanting us to come forwards, come upwards, everything. So by remembering them, may they please give their grace to us. Repeatedly Gurudev is saying these things on the days of the devotees, their passing away days, their appearance days, special days, that we are giving glorification to them very happily. And our only prayer is that they may please give a grace, a drop of grace from yourselves to help us in our own attempt. But our attempt to say something about them. And we pray that everyone forgive our fault or imperfection in presenting them. And today is also Go Grass Dan and Goshtashtami. All I know about that is it's yet another day to make the cows happy. And we're in Vrindavan on the just recently was also Go Puja. Oh, wasn't it the same day as Govardhan Puja? It's also Go Puja. And in some of the temples, they've got cows in the temple, not altar, obviously, in the Nat Mandir of the temple, including in Imlitala. There were two big, healthy, very nice cows in the Nat Mandir. And they were very tolerant. We're thinking, it's the day for doing some savor to the cows. I was thinking, how tolerant are the cows? Everybody's coming, and we are also doing it, going, touching the heads of the cows, touching their feet, because the cows are lying down and chewing the cud. But, I mean, thousands of people, they're just, whoever's coming to the temple, they're giving their obeisances to the deities, they're doing the parakram. When they come to the cows, they're touching the cow. And you think the cow, all he wants to do is lie there and chew his cud. But how tolerant the cow is. And so many cows in Vrindavan with the hand marks on the cows. And some nice cows, with the bulls or the oxes with the big horns we saw outside the Gokulananda temple. Very nicely looking so auspicious. And we were walking in one place in the west last year, and very nice area, and cows were roaming around, but one thing that I absolutely nobody can help but notice is, if you came within 100 meters of the cows, they would go somewhere else. How afraid of the human, what they have seen in their life in the west. But in India, the cow comes not only within 1 centimeter, he pushes you out of the way so he can walk down the street. We always say about the old ladies with their pointy elbows, they always seem to get in front of you, even if you're trying to go along the street. They can go much faster than us, but the cow has figured it out. He understands one rule of Indian driving, that might is right. If you're bigger than the others, you just walk through. Everybody must get out of the way. So just like like the trucks and buses in India. No, they'll go first. Now, the driving in India has not changed much over the last 3 years. The most essential part of every vehicle is the horn. Brakes, lights, everything else, windscreen wipers, may or may not work. But the horn must work. And for no reason, honestly, if you look at the driver and how he's driving, they just got to hoot the horn. Some things just never change. Just got to honk the horn. Nothing's there, nothing, nobody. Honk, 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 honk. So we have to learn from the cows many things. Humility. Ah, yes. Some good advice we've heard. Humility, tolerance, and giving honor to others. Hare Krishna. Any question from within the room?
Maharaj, you just mentioned that the deities in Puri, their names...
The deities.
The deities, yes. Their names is Nitai Chaitanya. Is that the...
Yes.
So Nitai goes first and Chaitanya...
Yes. In Puri, Srila Gurudev gave the names and very conscious... I mean, he's very conscious about everything, but he is always very consciously giving the names of the deities. And in Puri, Nitai Chaitanya, Shri Shri Nitai Chaitanya Dev. Gurudev gave those names to the deities in Puri, and Gurudev so happy with Nitai Chaitanya Dev. He's so happy. And at that time, and maybe until now, I don't know, but it's the only temple of Nitai and Chaitanya in Puri. And I can't say why. Gurudev, he says, and that's perfect. We're not asking so many, I'm not asking so many whys, definitely, with Gurudev. But what we do know is that he gave some stress to the fact of Nitai, and Nitai was with Chaitanya Dev in Puri. We all know that Puri is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, means when he received his sannyas, and that everybody associates Puri with, okay, Baladev, Subhadra, and Jagannath. That is, goes without saying, because they are the masters of Puri, as it were. It is their land. Jagannath, Dev, everyone's thinking of Jagannath, and Gurudev always saying we can only go to Puri by the grace of Jagannath. But in relation to our more recent times, means the Panchatattva, etc., then everyone gives much stress to Gauranga, which is true. It's Gauranga, that's where his base was as Sri Krishna Chaitanya. But Gurudev, when he was considering which deities will be in our temple, that okay, we have an ashram, we'll make the facility for the devotees first, which he did, made so that the devotees can stay. But when the temple is coming, he's considering what deities will be in the temple. And Gurudev made the point, and he said, in Puri, I think there is no temple of Nityananda with Gauranga, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But yet, Puri, Nityananda and his pastimes with Mahaprabhu took place very strongly and gloriously in Jagannath Puri. So it may be that he put Nitai first because of that emphasis that this is Nitai Chaitanya. It is specifically in remembrance of Nitai and Chaitanya or in their Leela. So I'm not saying, I don't know the working of Gurudev's mind, but I do know that contemplation and consideration of Gurudev about which deities and that Nitai will be with Chaitanya. He must be, somewhere in Puri must be Nitai with Chaitanya, but there is no temple. Our temple will be Nitai Chaitanya, this way. And we were with Gurudev and have been, I mean, literally with him as he's been pondering these things, and Gurudev very sweetly, you know, expressing these things. And Nitai Chaitanya coming to Puri, they have their Leela, their special Leela. And then the festival day, and where we were taking prasadam, which was your first time in India this time, but in Puri, where we were sitting taking prasadam, Gurudev is sitting taking prasadam there with us all happily and regularly. And we one day we had Jagannath Prasad. We had a special Jagannath Prasad festival. You know, we are breaking around the world. Often we are keeping some small piece of Jagannath Prasad. And after Ekadashi, on the Dwadashi day, the day after when you're breaking Ekadashi, we're taking like just a tiny bit or those little yellow packets of dried rice, Mahaprasad. We take literally two or three grains and put it in our mouth and we're remembering Jagannath, etc. And we're thinking, wow, with great fortune, we've got some Jagannath Prasad today. That tiny amount. And we are having banana leaf, just like the old times, but it was banana leaf plates, not chopped in two also. We had big banana leaf plates, and we had Jagannath Prasad feast this time in Jagannath Puri. And great remembrance of our time with Gurudev. Gurudev so happily giving Jagannath Prasad feast, giving instruction what to buy and what to go to the temple when the devotees are going to go to buy. And then through the pandas we get Jagannath Prasad. That's kind of the only way you know you're going to be getting the Jagannath Prasad. And so we've had the Jagannath Prasad feast this time, but also with Gurudev, sitting with Gurudev taking Jagannath Prasad feast. So gloriously in Jagannath Puri, exactly the places where we are sitting, there Gurudev is sitting. With us, we are all happily taking. And you see many traditions in Puri, one of them, when you have Jagannath Prasad, then they're not sitting on any asan, or not on any mat, they're sitting directly on the floor and taking. And from the banana leaf, very, very happy. Time is eternal, but some of these, we can guess that Leela is eternal. We know, we've given this example of the sunrise, sunset. Now it is, the sunset happened here, but the sun is rising somewhere and setting somewhere, always at the same time. We can get a hint of what is Leela. But Gurudev's pastimes also, it feels like that. It is still alive. His pastimes are continuing happily. And we are in some way reliving those pastimes when we go. And in Vrindavan we are remembering Gurudev and his pastimes there. In Govardhan we are remembering him and his pastimes there. In Puri, and actually all those places, Govardhan, Puri, and Vrindavan or Govardhan Vrindavan and Puri, all those places, Gurudev was very relieved to go. Gurudev saying so much about how happy he is going to Puri. I'm getting relief by going to Puri because all many management things and big temple in Navadvip and all the, you know, correspondence as well as the maintenance of the temple and so many things. Big problem, you see. Much responsibility to run a small ashram. What to speak of a big ashram. And Gurudev, when he's going to Puri, he's feeling, he's telling so, he's feeling so much relief, how happy I am to go to Puri. But more so, he's saying, but when I go to Govardhan, there I am worry-free. This is my happy, most happy place. And in Vrindavan, intense place, but the place where we have extremely sweet, sweet memories of Gurudev. And wherever we go, we are in Chiang Mai, we are in an ashram, we are in a temple. We always, whether we are in Seva Kunj, the heart of the highest pastimes of Vrindavan, whether we're in Seva Kunj, whether we're at Govardhan, the place where we've got the highest place also, Radha Kund and Shama Kund. There we always have to be consciously taking shelter, protection of Gurudev. And it felt like that when we were with him in Vrindavan and Govardhan, that we are safely under his shelter. But in our temples, here we are in Chiang Mai, but around the world in various temples and ashrams everywhere, everywhere we want to really be and actually be under the shelter of our Gurudev, under the shelter of Gurudev, wherever we are. It's not that we are masters of anything, that we have any right. We can make offense to the Vaishnavas, to the deities, and the temples are non-different from the Dham in the sense that everything is centered on the Lord. So we want to actually, it's very good to go through the 10 offenses to the holy Dham in our back to basics, you know, discussions or whatever it is, revision. Then we are always going through the 10 offenses to the holy name, etc. But 10 offenses to the holy Dham, especially when we are living in an ashram or visiting the ashrams and temples, we must keep all these things in mind when we are with the devotees and in the ashrams. So this year's pilgrimage, some of the devotees, it was their first time. Tomorrow, when we're not on camera and we're all sitting together, we can ask you some impressions of your first time in India. We can ask you now, but you've probably got the cameras in the wrong place and won't be able to show our discussion. But I also like to hear everyone's impressions. What are your first impressions, this, that, and the other? And some people get culture shock coming to India. It's just like mind-blowing. And it's easy to say culture shock and say, oh, it's just a different place and they're just, it's kind of peculiar. But I can say one thing from my own experience, that the first time I went back to London after coming to India, I really had culture shock going back to London. It was just all so extremely different that it's the only time that I felt like really, you know, that I could say, oh, I can get some idea what is culture shock. It was so completely different. I just felt entirely out of place, and it was almost like walking onto a theater stage or something like that. And one of the things was, that time there's no metro in London going from Heathrow to the center of town. And so I took the famous London Red Bus, which I now see in all sorts of other places in the world. So famous that the Red Bus is now in many places. But the London Red Bus I took from the airport going into the center of London. And one of the very first things was, I could understand what everybody's saying on the bus, you know, right? And they're all talking to each other, and their conversations were so shallow and, you know, almost pathetic when you understand what people are saying. And in India, because you don't understand what the, that time I didn't understand what people are saying, so you think they're saying something sensible, something with some value. But then took the red bus, my first hour in London, and then I took the red bus, and you can hear the conversation, and it's so trivial, superficial, useless, pathetic, waste of energy, and you can hear everyone's conversation, and that whole environment, it was just like a big shock to me. So I can relate to the fact that, you know, you can really feel out of place somewhere. But interestingly, it was going to London after being in India. But going to India always feels like, coming home. It feels so natural and so human. India is so human. And I still don't understand what everybody says, so I still think they speak sense. And on the buses are so noisy, you can't hear the other people. But I don't know whether it's the... Anyway, I was going to say, in glorification of something British, today, coming here from Bangkok on the flight today, it was an extremely quiet aeroplane. And one thing I noticed, though, when I looked out of the window, was that the engines were Rolls-Royce engines. And I wondered whether it was so quiet because of the engines. Because I think most of the planes, they've got American engines, right? So anyway, this had British engines, and it says Rolls-Royce. And I said, oh, that's why it's so quiet. I noted it today on the plane. And for those of you at home, it is very green, it's very fresh, there is natural fragrance in the air. And very quiet, very gentle here where we are today. All right, well, for me, it's good to be home, home means be with the devotees, be with you all. We're always passing through, but we are here happily, a little unexpectedly, in the sense of coming here, going to India, then we other invitations and plans, but devotees have brought me back here to be in the association of you all, so as well as picking limes from the lime tree so that they don't all go to waste and keeping my eye on the next jackfruit so that they don't go to waste, then I'm here to do some seva, so please keep me engaged. Jai Srila Bhakti Sunda Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Rokok Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Sri Giriraj Govindan Ki Jai. Jai Sri Rupanu Guru Bhaga Ki Jai. Jai Sri Changmai Ashram Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Okay, you've heard enough from me. So now, from here, within our community, please you sing Hari Haraya Nama Krishna, and I shall be happy. Who will sing? Would you like to sing in Chinese? Please sing for us, Hari Haraya Nama Krishna, Yadavaya Namaha. And we shall end the evening program traditionally. And next time we meet, I hope I shall not be sitting in the chair, but they will arrange that we're sitting together in our regular evening programs, and you can join us in a less sitting in a chair formal way. But thank you for the welcome home. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha. Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana. Giridhari Gopinath Madana. Yeah, no. Jai Shri Giriraj Govaranju ki Jai, Jai Om Vishnu Pad Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj ki Jai, Jai Om Vishnu Pad Srila Bhakti Rakhak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj ki Jai, Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur Prabhupada ki Jai, Jai Shri Rupanuga Guru Vaga ki Jai, Jai Shri Chaitanya Sarasat Mat ki Jai, Shri Chaitanya Sarasat Acharya Vrinda ki Jai, Jai Srila Bhakti Bimala Avadhut Maharaj ki Jai, Jai Srila Bhakti Sudhir Goswami Maharaj ki Jai, Jai Shri Chiang Mai Ashram ki Jai, all the assembled devotees ki Jai, Harinam Sankirtan ki Jai, and Jai Tirubhavatiti Disappearance Day of Srinivasacharya Dhananjaya Pandit and Garadha Das ki Jai, Go Brastan ki Jai, Go Pooja ki Jai, Shri Harinam Sankirtan ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.
Shri Bhaktiranjan Mutusudan Maharaj ki Jai.